had really forgotten. I do remember, however, how we had both you and your wife at the Japa retreat in Washington, D.C. And I remember that tear-filled morning which we all spent at that time. Krishna. Good. I have prepared for all of you a lecture which I hope will inspire and interests you. I must admit to you that as I grow older, I very much feel in my heart a need to relate to Krishna in an affectionate way. Now it's so difficult for the conditioned soul to direct one's love and affection to a personality who's so multifaceted, so great, so inconceivable as Lord Krishna. Therefore, many times when we hear the word we have to develop love of Godhead, we think that is a far cry, that how will this ever happen? But in thinking very deeply in my own life about this subject matter, I feel I have discovered by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he has shown me really an entrance door into this realm of developing feelings of affection for Krishna, and an entry which I would like to share with you today. Now you notice we are trying to negotiate the sound with our sound recording, which for the first time in sounds like that. Ananda Gopal, what did you do with the machine?
It's just like that.
It never was like that before. Maybe it's in your association where it became like that. Maybe it's weak on the batteries and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It's all right. We all were in India and we know what improvisation or what it means to improvise. Can we even make it lower? We don't have to go to the... Yes. Deyadadha Madhava Kunya Bihane Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Vallava Nirivarada Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallava Yashodanandana Raja Janarandana Yashodanandana Raja Janarandana Yamuna Tida Vanachari Yamuna Tida Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Vede Siddhate. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paravara Dhakacharya Ashtatur Sudasi Simati Stivain Gresila Ave Charana Ravinda Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja O Shila Prabhupada Kide Anand Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Kide Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Kide Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Sigaranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna. I will need a Bhagavad Gita in the English language. I think it's there. Let me please just adjust this. Sir. Thank you. One moment. One, two, shwoop. Please take this. That was a very intense day for me. I did an email marathon. Then, by Krishna's mercy, I completed something which is like a forthcoming book. I want to write a book on Kirtan, Hare Krishna. And then I did some work on the retreat in India, the big retreat which we always do. And now I'm so happy to be amongst you and to have survived the day. It's really when we grow older in Krishna consciousness, you know, most of us, like, yes, also Anutama, we have come to this when we were very young. You must have been also around 20 when you joined.
16.
Wow. See, like, we were young boys, Anutama and myself. We got some mercy by the pure devotee, and he caught us and brought us into this. And now, let us say politely, the autumn of our life has arrived. Not yet the winter, we hope. And when you look back at your days, you actually every day I consider it just a mercy that I'm engaged in these very, very spiritual activities. Like, the whole day I was thinking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because I'm preparing this seminar on Kirtan for the Vedic University. And then the other part of the day, you think of Govardhan because you prepare a Govardhan retreat. And in this way, one is just captured by some mercy. I mean, I could, without Prabhupada's mercy, I would maybe, I don't know, climb a mountain or dive in the ocean or take a bath in a few million euros or I don't even want to think what else. Play a guitar in a rock and roll band. Many options would be there, but now I'm thinking of Giriraj, and it's really mercy. I'm not qualified, I'm not deserving this, but just someone took me by the neck, shloop, and put me into this, and now I will deliver a highly spiritual lecture. I'm saying this not because I think I'm a highly spiritual person, but the subject is very exalted, and I've taken it from the scriptures and from Prabhupada, so it's very highly exalted. So a devotee, when you get older, you notice this in your life, that you are engaged in such wonderful opportunities, but it's not because of your own qualification, it's because of the milost. That's a word, Anutamai, we have to learn here. Milost means mercy. It's a good word to learn. So, okay, I just wanted to share some private thoughts before I give you a lecture. May I ask, Sundarananda, you are so practically minded, could you bring this a little lower, because it makes such a separation between the audience when it's so high, maybe 15 centimeters lower or something. And then please don't forget, I have to speak to you after the lecture. Huh? Ja. Now let us see about the translation. Oh, Irene, I see you already at your translation seat. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 I'm not sure that there is a verse is there, but I'm at another verse, so I will stick with my program here with your permission. Arjuna uvacha nashto mohasmritiya lapta, nashto mohasmritiya lapta, tvat prasadan mayachuta, tvat prasadan mayachuta, sitosmi gata sandeha. Sataganeha karishye vachanam tava, etachanam tava. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, Irena, it is the 18th chapter, text 73. Do you have a Gita, Irena? 1873. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. I believe you all know that this is towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna gives Lord Krishna feedback on what he has heard. His feedback is very, very positive. He says, my illusion is now gone by your mercy, and I have regained my memory, I know now again. The purport is equally touching. The constitutional position of a living entity represented by Arjuna is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. He is meant for self-discipline. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the actual position of the living entity is that of eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Forgetting this principle, the living entity becomes conditioned by material nature. But in serving the Supreme Lord, he becomes again the liberated servant of God. The living entity's constitutional position is that of a servitor. He has to serve either the illusory Maya or the Supreme Lord. If he serves the Supreme Lord, he is in his normal condition. But if he prefers to serve the illusory external energy, then certainly he will be in bondage. In illusion, the living entity is serving in this material world. He's bound by his lust and desires, yet he thinks of himself as the master of the world. This is called illusion. When a person is liberated, his illusion is over, and he voluntarily surrenders unto the Supreme to act according to his desires. The last illusion, the last snare of Maya to trap the living entity is a certain misconception. Who knows what that could be? Yeah. One thinks, what is God? This is really an extremist position. The living entity thinks that he is no longer a conditioned soul, but Yasambhog, I am God. He is so intelligent that he does not think that if he were God, then how could he be in doubt that he does not consider? So that is the last snare of illusion. Actually, to become free from the illusory energy is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and agree to act according to his order. The word moha is very important in this verse. Moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. Actually, real knowledge is the understanding that every living being is eternally a servitor of the Lord. But instead of thinking oneself in that position, the living entity thinks that he is not a servant, that he is the master of this material world. For he wants to lord it over the material nature. That is his illusion. This illusion can be overcome by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of a pure devotee. When that illusion is over, one agrees to act in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is, I think these are very interesting and very important sentences, it's definitions of what Krishna consciousness is. One time Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is acting above the clouds. But here he says, Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of matter, does not know that the Supreme Lord is the master who is full of knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever Krishna desires, Krishna can bestow upon his devotees. Krishna is the friend of everyone, and Krishna is especially inclined to his devotees. Krishna is the controller of this material nature and of all living entities. Krishna is also the controller of inexhaustible time. And Krishna is full of all opulences and all potencies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can even give himself to the devotee. One who does not know Krishna is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee, but a servitor of Maya. Arjuna, however, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, became free from all illusion. He could understand that Krishna was not only his friend, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understood Krishna factually. So to study Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. When a person is in full knowledge, he naturally surrenders to Krishna. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, he agreed to fight according to Krishna's desires. He again took up his weapons, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padayo Krishna Pistai Utale Simate Vivedanta Saminityami Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nivashesha Shunyavani Paskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Yadveta Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavin Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna I forgot to drink today because I was so much working. Krishna. So here, my dear devotees, I have chosen this shloka for you because I feel it makes such a good point. It's at the very, very end of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, when before the Bhagavad Gita happened, Arjuna had four big problems. He was covered by ignorance. He didn't know how he should act in life. He was clearly in a dilemma. Arjuna was so inert, stifled, paralyzed by his misery, that virtually his body showed, you would call it in modern language, psychosomatic symptoms. You know, his mouth was dry, but he was sweating profusely. He was really coughing blood. We could say he felt. So he had no idea of jnana, nothing of karma, what he should do. He felt clearly isolated from anything. He felt alone. His misery was such that he felt so depressed, and so on. And the last problem he had is he didn't find any connection with love. He didn't feel loved and so on. So Krishna explained jnana to give him some knowledge, karma to show him some activity, what to do. He explained yoga so that his state of isolation could be cleared away, and he gave him knowledge of bhakti, love. For the Supreme. So after Arjuna's dilemma had been solved, he is now very relieved. We can hear him as he says, "O my dear Krishna, O Achyuta, unfallible one." He says, Krishna, you are not like me, who is fallible and who can be so much an illusion. You are always above the illusions. You are Achyuta, infallible. I am now, by your mercy, reinstalled. I have regained my memory and I'm free from doubt. And now I have this Shakti in me again. I can act according to your instructions. My dear devotees, Wouldn't it be nice if one day we can say this to Krishna? O Krishna, O Achyuta, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. Well, that means memory of one's constitutional position. I'm now firm and free from doubt, and I'm prepared to act according to your instructions. Imagine we would be able to say this from our heart. There's another great devotee who said this. His name is Uddhava, who at the end of the Uddhava Gita, where Lord Krishna had preached to him, stated very, very similar things. And I want to read you these feelings of Uddhava. But before, I wish to tell you a little bit about this great devotee of Krishna. Uddhava was so near and dear to Arjuna, Krishna, that he was a cousin of Lord Krishna, and he had very much the same beautiful bodily features as Krishna has. He had a bluish complexion, long arms, lotus eyes, wavy hairs. He was, in other words, extremely beautiful, and he was very intelligent. He had received his education from the most intelligent being, saint in this world. We would say now, in our modern language, an extraterrestrial intelligentsia. Bhrigu Muni had educated him. Oh, no, Brihaspati. And he was always together with Krishna. He was together with Krishna in Mathura, and he was handpicked by Krishna to go back to Vrindavan with a love message to the parents and the friends of Krishna and also the gopis. Uddhava accompanied Lord Krishna from Mathura to Dwaraka, and later there in Dwaraka acted as the personal advisor to Lord Krishna. Uddhava was really with Krishna, together with Krishna, more or less like his shadow. He was so close to Krishna that Uddhava once said that no one is as dear to him as Uddhava is dear to him. And Krishna had compared Uddhava with Lakshmi, with Balaram, with Shiva, and he said, in comparison to these personalities who are very dear to him, Uddhava is more dear. And Krishna had also said to him that Uddhava is even more dear to him than he himself. So Uddhava was really close to Krishna. And Uddhava loved Krishna very, very much. When the Nectar of Devotion, we find a statement that sometimes when Krishna was absent from Dwaraka, Uddhava could not tolerate the separation of his beloved Lord. He felt just so miserable that he would go to the mainland. Dwaraka is an island, as you all well know, and he would go to the mainland and there climb the Raivata mountains. And whenever he would see on the Raivata mountains, it's a high mountain range, it's still there, that a cloud would come, a bluish rain cloud, and would be stopped by the peak of the mountain. You know, If you know something about mountains, clouds are always stopping before the peak of the mountain. They can't cross over the high mountain. So when Uddhavaji saw such a cloud, he actually, just imagine this, was reminded so much by on Krishna. Can you imagine why the cloud reminded Uddhava on Krishna? The same bluish complexion, dark bluish complexion, that he actually made an obeisance in the direction to the cloud, thinking it's my Lord, it's Krishna, and he prayed to Krishna, Sankarshan, what do you think? This is love, isn't it? Imagine when we are very much in love. I do not know if this has ever happened to you. But then even the smallest things which remind you of the beloved person, it can be only a sound. Shh! Ooh, the beloved person is coming. Then your heart beats faster, and you actually in your mind's eye see the beloved person coming around the corner. I remember when I was a young boy, I was always so adventurous. We lived at the Baltic Sea, and I would build my own little ships, and then I would go into the sea, although I was forbidden by my parents, of course. And two times I came in what is called in German Seenot. You know, that's an emergency. The storm come and my boat crashed, you know, and I was then swimming in the high sea. But I was so attached to my mother when I was a small boy that I was hearing the waves and I was thinking, mother is coming. No problem. So, yes, I do remember from my own conditioned experience. But Uddhava, imagine, he loved God, and he saw when the rain cloud came, my Lord Krishna has come. Finally, good. So, towards the end of Krishna's pastime in this world, he knew my Lord would go. He had heard about the fight which had happened in the Yadu clan, and he searched all over like a madman. Where is my Lord? It was clear to him that the Lord would not be amongst the dead Yadu soldiers, so he looked in the forest, and there he found the Lord in the forest. The Lord was leaning against a banyan tree, and he looked very, very peaceful. His hand was in the Jnana Mudra, and around him were his powerful energies. The Lord looked so peaceful that Uddhava just knew the Lord is gonna, he's going to leave me. He's only here for a few more hours. He just knew it. And this gave him a great shock, which tore his heart apart, because he was fearing nothing except for one thing, that is the separation from the Lord. So in this moment, he took shelter in what I want to develop today in the lecture, a feeling of gratitude. He steadied his mind, says the Bhagavatam, by a feeling of gratitude. He was panicking, but then in the midst of the panic, he developed the yoga of gratitude, of feeling grateful to Krishna for enlightening him with transcendental knowledge. And then he started to pray to the Lord. He said, by your merciful association, O Krishna, my ignorance and illusion have been dispelled. Like Arjuna, huh? Arjuna, he says, my dear Krishna, my illusion is now gone. So Uddhava said, by your merciful association, my ignorance and illusion have been dispelled. I asked you, how can coldness, darkness, and fear exert their power over one who has approached the brilliant sun? Do you understand him? He says, I'm Krishna consciousness. I'm in connection with Krishna. So how can there be illusion? How can there be fear in my heart? It's almost like someone who comes out of the cold and then comes to the brilliant sun. There's no coldness and no darkness and no fear any longer. Then Uddhava says, Krishna, in return for my insignificant surrender, you have mercifully bestowed upon me the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, what devotee of yours who has any gratitude could ever give up your lotus feet and take shelter of another master? My dear devotees, this simple statement contains in it a powerful key to develop Krishna consciousness. Uddhava is before the most terrifying situation. He stands on the edge of madness, because he knows if Krishna will go away and leave the planet, his life will be empty. But at that moment, he remembers something. He remembers the knowledge which Krishna has given him, and the auspicious position in his life, and he becomes grateful for this. The moment when you are in a difficult situation in your life, or the moment even when you are in a normal situation in your life, and gratitude enters your heart, all the problems are gone. It's almost like all coldness, all darkness goes when you come in front of the powerful sun. Only when the gratitude or gratefulness leaves your heart, my dear devotees, at that moment you are in the cold and dark material world. You have to practice gratitude on a daily basis. Now, in Serbia, I gave a lecture on the subject, and I repeated a sentence which I once had heard from Radhanath Maharaj, a sentence which really made a lot of sense to me. Radhanath Maharaj said that the condition, gratitude or gratefulness, is the condition of the heart which allows spiritual growth to take place. Should I repeat this again? It is an important sentence. Gratitude is the condition of the heart which allows spiritual growth to take place. It's a beautiful sentence. It makes a lot of sense. When you have a plant in your life, when you have a plant, you actually need to give the plant a certain, how would you say, humus, it's called, a certain environment so that it can grow. It's a certain type of earth, and so on. And if you can supply that, the plant can grow very nicely, but say you would have sand and you would try to put a plant into sand, the same plant would not be able to grow so nicely any longer. You need to supply the right soil, it's called, the right ground to a plant so that it can grow. So in the same way, for your spiritual life in Krishna consciousness, you need to give the right atmosphere. Usually we say, hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about Krishna is the water which allows the Bhakti Lata, the plant of Krishna consciousness, to grow. But the soil is really gratitude. The feeling that, my dear Lord, I sincerely thank you for this. It is really, I'm really grateful for this. Now, Lord Krishna has this quality that it's easy to be grateful to Krishna, because one of Krishna's 64 qualities is that he himself is grateful to Sakvalan, yes, to any small service which a devotee has ever rendered to him. He will never forget a little service. I remember once in our Serbian summer camp, we asked the devotees to put a theater together, and one group put such a heart-moving theater together that I must tell you this about the theater. We had given the devotees three symbols for that theater and had asked them to make a theater using this three symbols. One was a rope with a noose. Do you know what is a noose? How do we say noose? Onch? Yes. The other was a verse, I think Chintamani or something, Govinda Mari Purusham. And I forget what it was. Something else. So the drama or the theater was about a person who was so desperate in his life that he could see no other solution than to take his life by getting on his chair and putting a noose around his neck and just committing suicide. So just at the moment when this person wanted to commit suicide, one devotee who was worshipping a Ladu Gopal came in the door totally panicked and said, I have to serve a sweet to my Ladu Gopal. Do you have some sugar? And he looked at the person who was just standing on the chair, ready to take his life. And then he noticed, well, this person is ready to take the life, and he said, don't take your life, just give me a sugar for my Gopal. But the person was so distressed that he said, take the sugar on the table, and then, I mean, then you can also take the milk later, because I won't be there any longer. So the person was just in the midst of the offering or so. So he took the sugar and left the house of that person, and the person committed suicide. In his next life, that person was in the kingdom of God, standing before Krishna. the person said, "What happened to me? I just committed suicide, but now I'm in paradise. What happened?" And Krishna smiled and said, "You had given me some sugar, and you promised to give me milk in the future. So I'm now ready to collect the milk." I hope I can tell it nicely, the story. It said Krishna, the idea was Krishna was so grateful for that little sugar that he gave further opportunity for devotional service in the next life. So this is Krishna's nature. He takes whatever is good from us and he accepts it, and then he gives us a chance for more service. Once Prabhupada was asked what is the result of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and Prabhupada captured this principle and he said, "More chanting. You will have more opportunity to continue with your little service." Isn't that wonderful? Krishna takes our little service and he just accepts it very nicely. So, to such a Lord, we should be grateful. We should learn really to start our day with a meditation of gratitude. When we wake up, we can start, "Oh, I'm grateful that you gave me another day, another opportunity to render some service. I'm grateful that I can go now to the shower and refresh myself. And I'm grateful that I can go to the sit down on the floor and chant your holy name with a heart full of gratitude. And when we eat prasadam, I'm grateful that you gave us this prasadam. There are so many people who are hungry and I'm not. I get enough prasadam whenever I'm hungry." And in this way, we can dance the dance of gratitude. And this will soften our heart so much so that we will attract more mercy of Krishna to come into our life. Now in Serbia, I made a point that the devotee is grateful to Krishna in two ways. And this is... Let me be grateful for this health tea which makes you sweat. Krishna. First, the devotee can be grateful for gifts of nectar. But something which is even more beneficial for the devotee is to be grateful also for gifts of distress. Prabhupada talked about this, and he chanted a Sanskrit verse. He said, "Ekam eva dvitiyam brahma." It says there is no second existence. Those who are truly learned are those who have reached the platform of understanding and observing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any and every condition of life. Should I repeat this sentence? Those who are truly learned are those who have reached the platform of understanding and observing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any condition of life. Whatever happens, the learned peoples can see Krishna is involved. Learned devotees accept even the conditions of distress as representing the presence of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is present even when a devotee has some distress. And why would the Lord send distress? Prabhupada says, to relieve and purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world. Distress is thus seen as an especially merciful feature of the Lord, which the devotee welcomes. Actually, the greatest gift which you can give a person is, Prabhupada has said, fearlessness of the material existence. And fearlessness of material existence comes at the moment when you are grateful. Thank you for sending this. Thank you for sending even the death in my way. Thank you for sending disease in my way. Thank you for sending disappointment my way, because now I can become free from the greatest bondage, that is the desire to enjoy and control this world. I leave this project now. It doesn't work. I'm ready to go to you. So because this, that is to be grateful to Krishna, to whatever it comes, is something which the materialist will never be able to understand. Therefore, it's a confidential secret of Krishna consciousness. There is this book, Unveiling His Lotus Feet. Do we have it here? I believe, Sadanandi, you have one copy. Would you be so kind to bring it for us? Because there is a quotation of Srila Prabhupada, which is hard, which is so nice, because Krishna is seen in it. We can see Krishna through this quotation in a new way. I think we should practice in our life to see nothing, absolutely nothing, as separated from Krishna. And if we can see everything as connected with Krishna and be grateful for this, our true spiritual life starts. Sankarshan, what do you think? You're going like, that's still some field you can learn. Yeah. I think it is easy when you have trust in Krishna. When we have trust in Krishna, it's easy to understand that whatever Krishna does must be good. And really, when Prabhupada was in his, on his, just a few hours before he stopped speaking and went into this 1 hour, thank you very much, 1 hour of, 1 day of ecstatic absorption in Krishna consciousness, then he left us. This was one of his last sentences which he dictated. He said, to understand that everyone and everything works under the guidance of the Lord, or under the control of the Lord, that is Krishna consciousness. So I want to find this now for you. This quotation, it's in the passage of Narada Muni. I almost have it here. Narada instructs Vyasadeva. Yeah. I read it the day before yesterday. Yeah, here it is. I think you know when Narada Muni was still very young, he was visited by four great souls. They are called here as Bhaktivedantas. And when they left the house, he wanted to go along with them, but because he was a responsible young boy, he was bound by both his duty to his mother and her dependence on him. And then disaster struck. Bang! His poor mother suddenly died. But Narada Muni was so spiritually advanced that he could see this disaster as God's grace. And Prabhupada comments this. He says this... Hare Krishna! Have you hurt yourself? Pain? Is that... No, you will get a better chair. It's an opportunity for us. Is it painful or not?
No, it's not.
Disaster has stroken our Ram Tulasi.
Should I use me as an example?
Yes, but please, it is our desire that you sit on the chair. This is a very stable chair. But it came at the right moment when I talked about disaster. Thank you for your illustration. I think you have done this on purpose. This is my interpretation. I'm happy that nothing happened to you. So please let us listen so that Ram Tulasi's endeavor is not in vain to drive the point home. Because Prabhupada shows us how to view calamity as God's grace. He says, that is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother, and yet the mother was taken from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord. Then Prabhupada says, confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense, like a chair breaking into pieces, is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. Mundane prosperity. Now, Prabhupada talks about material well-being. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever. And by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it. Mundane people can never understand. It's a confidential secret which only confidential devotees can understand. That everything is a benediction of the Lord. And that mundane, even calamity, is a special, special benediction of the Lord. Because in this way, the material fever goes down and spiritual health is obtained step by step. That is more surrender to Krishna. Queen Kunti was so absolutely convinced of this that she prayed, my dear Lord, please send us misery again and again. You know, a normal person was thinking, my God, is there some masochistic psychological disorder in her that she wants to suffer? Is everything all right? Maybe we have to sent her to the psychoanalyst. No, she knows that Krishna detaches her by this from the material world and just puts her on the track back home, back to Godhead. So Uddhava, this is my original point here, and Arjuna both feel special gratitude towards Krishna for enlightening them with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge, where even material misery is seen as the special mercy of Lord Krishna, who pulls his dear devotees back home, back to Godhead. And you can see in the life of confidential devotees, like the Pandavas, for instance, that there is a lot of such treatment going on. Srila Prabhupada, I do remember, he once talked in a lecture about a meeting where Narada Muni discusses this subject with Krishna. Narada Muni comes to Krishna after he has visited the Pandavas in exile in the forest, and he has noted that these, you know, rightful kings of the earth are now walking barefoot over the thorny forest paths. And he jokes with Krishna, by becoming your devotee, Krishna, they have become very happy. You know, it's an ironical gesture. What are you doing to your devotees? And then he says, but I see something which irritates me. These devotees have become more attached to you. And then he asked, what type of magic do you have on your devotees? Because obviously Narada Muni here, you know, pretends that he can't understand this confidential treatment of the Lord to his devotees, that the Lord pulls his devotees with everything he does closer to his lotus feet. And my dear devotees, to enter this confidential secret of Krishna consciousness, in fact, to enter any Krishna consciousness, you have to find a special door. Krishna consciousness and all the secrets of Krishna consciousness can only be understood if you have some affection for Krishna, some sympathy, some trust, some favorable feeling towards Krishna. And this starts, or let me say it like this, you can educate your dry heart, your love dry heart, your insecure heart, in this confidential feeling for Krishna by practicing gratitude, Madhava Hari. Every day you can practice this gratitude to Krishna. Meditate about Krishna, what he does, what about his milost. Oh, milost is so good. All of a sudden, as you every day practice gratitude, you find yourself in the kingdom of love. And then you are no longer in the material world or immaterial consciousness. You are there. There in the sense of being in Krishna consciousness. So, Hare Krishna, this is what I wanted to share with you. at Ramchulasi, you're sure? No adverse, yes? Because now we're getting old and bones are fragile and so on. No problem. Very good. Good. Dobro. Any questions you have to churn the subject matter? Churn. May I just ask our Radha Kripa, your kindness in person, can you fill it? Half. Sounds like the monsoon. Yes, Anuttama Prabhu.
I had a 38-year experience of ISKCON to share about this subject.
Uh-huh. Wonderful.
38 years of being a devotee. And the concept of being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced that we were always grateful to Srila Prabhupada. And we always thank Prabhupada, but quite often we didn't thank each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we took each other for granted.
Yeah.
The service, you know, that everyone would be doing. In fact, I said to Radhanath Swami some years back, I said, in all my years of ISKCON, no one ever said thank you to me for whatever I was doing, you know, summer service.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I said, that's something we need, something I see lacking. So he said to me, he said, Anuttama, practically my whole job is that.
To say
just
thank
thanking
you.
Thanking people for their service.
Yeah.
And that's one of his secrets of successful management, is that he's grateful. Not just because he's the guru, but, you know, he's grateful to everyone for anything they do. And this attitude of gratefulness, not only with Krishna and with Guru, but with the bhakta who's sweeping the floor, or the cook who's cooking, or the people who are cleaning the bathrooms, or anyone who's coming. There was a story in 1966. Prabhupada was giving the talk at the First Temple in Second Avenue, and one kind of homeless person, a bum, it was in that area where there were many homeless people, came in the middle of the lecture, kind of, you know, dirty fellow, stinky fellow, and he was making some noise, and he had a roll of toilet paper, new toilet paper, and he came and he brought it and he put it down by Prabhupada, and, you know, kind of then just walked out. And Prabhupada said, just see, he is doing service. So he brought some, you know, something to the devil.
Yeah.
Something valuable to him.
Yeah.
I remember hearing this story. I wasn't there, but I heard it years and years ago.
Yeah.
When I was a new devotee in the early 70s. You know, that we all, you know, can render some service to Krishna. And Krishna will appreciate it. Hopefully the devotees will appreciate it.
Yeah.
We all know Krishna appreciates it, at least, you know, that's the idea. But we do need to express our appreciation amongst each other for our, you know, services. Devotee doesn't want to be respected. He's not doing something, look at me, you know, hope you respect me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't hurt. It's good for us to respect others. Not that the devotee wants respect, but it's good for us to respect Trinadapi Sunichena, to respect even, you know, anyone, even the non-devotee, to respect. So, just my experience of many years of Krishna consciousness and this subject of gratitude.
Thank you so much, Anuttama Prabhu. Very, very good, wonderful comment you have made. Yeah.
Even in the secret of married life, I'm doing a seminar on household life at the camp.
Oh, yeah.
I figure I'm married 28 years to the same person.
Yeah.
Many devotees are married, but they keep changing.
Yeah.
Secret is to stay married to the same person. So the gratitude is also very important.
Yeah.
Successful.
Yeah.
Relation with your spouse.
Yeah.
To say thank you. Hopefully daily.
Yeah.
So it can be carried over into many aspects of life, not only devotional life, but our, all life.
So Anuttama said something very important. I'm very thoughtful because it's exactly this type of information which we hear, which really will throw a switch in our whole thinking, and it will make our community very strong. Since a few weeks or so, I've written an article which I've worked very hard on for a web page and for some publications, which I call the Community of Care, and I'm now we will try in Croatia to take the impulse of what you have said into a community of care where appreciation is given. And it's such a great need for people to hear the thank you. Like Anuttama has described, it's so absolutely important for a person to hear that, especially when it comes from the heart of the person who says this. It's like a need bigger than the need for food. It's this appreciation of what is done, what has been done. In Sanskrit we say krito gyoham. I'm aware of what has been done. This is something like saying thank you. I'm aware of what you have done. I have thought about it. I've gathered information. I know now what has been done. Thank you. This appreciation is magical. I remember also a story which I have read which I would like to share, following Anuttama's very nice point. It was, Prabhupada would do every morning a morning walk, and he would see, it was in San Francisco, a car at the entrance of the park where Srila Prabhupada's car came, and then Prabhupada walked, and after his walk he again went back into the car. And he noticed this. There was this man in the car looking very, very, very depressed for a week or so. For 2 days Prabhupada looked at the saw this car and with the man, but it was likely that the man had some distress in his heart, and he was coming there every morning. Maybe in the night he came there, and he sat in the car and was just miserable, sitting in the car looking at the park. And so one morning Prabhupada went over to this man, and he indicated that the man rolled down his window, And then Prabhupada looked at him, smiled and said, "Good morning." And then he continued onwards into his car and went to the temple for the Dedika eating, or that was Prabhupada's routine. And next morning, so when he said good morning, the face of that person lit up. And all this misery seemed to be driven away by the simple appreciation that someone has said good morning to me, you know, has wished me a good morning. And then they came to the next morning, and the car was not there. The man was no longer depressed. That one good morning, he missed that one good morning maybe for 38 years of his marriage. I don't want to speculate. So there's a very, very nice seminar which we are all very excited about, Anuttama Prabhu. It's from Bir Krishna Maharaj. He gave the excellent seminar about this point, emphatic communication, he calls it. And it means you just imagine yourself in the situation of that person, see the world through his eyes, see his feelings and his needs, and just then nurture that or fulfill that. Thank you. Yeah, I know, Radha Maharaj, he has discovered the secret. And it comes from his heart. He has not learned it in a communication seminar. It comes from the heart. That's his.
When you get a hug from Radha Swami,
yeah,
it's a real hug.
It's a real hug, yeah.
It lasts a long time.
It sticks to you. Sticks to your shirt. Even if you wash your shirt, I mean, it has to be washed, but that hug will not be washed out of the shirt. It sticks. Krishna. Dobro. So, I think this is now 10 minutes past 9. This is called a manipulative thing, I would say. I think it's 10 minutes past 9. I hope there's no other question. But we should go. I hope to see some of you at the summer camp, if not many of you, at least for a few days. I know the Ratha Yatra in Rijeka is always a highly spiritual event where Lord of the universe becomes the friend of the universe for a day. So please make plans to come if you can. And I hope it will rain a little at the coast, and we will not spend the seminar in the atria because it's so hot due to global warming. If it's so hot, I will ask the people who come to my seminar to all come into the atria, and we will just sit in the water and discuss Gauranga Mahaprabhu. All the best for you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.